atmosphere in this place tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Just wanted to give you a little update on Sister Grant. Not anything real different from what was said, but Brother Grant was encouraged today because it appears that she's gaining her strength back, and they're real, real excited about that. But keep them in your prayers. And Brother Grant's back is completely out. So as one gets better, the other one. So we decided that it was the devil who was doing all this craziness, and we want to just bind ourselves together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of our pastor and his wife. Praise God. Recently back from a one-week trip in Canada. Wow. It just overwhelmed me. These little things called no-see-ums. If you've ever run into those, they're so small you cannot see them. But they have a horrendous bite. And you don't know that they have bitten you till about 3 days later. And after they've extracted several gallons of blood from me, and I got home and I started itching all over my body. It's crazy. But here I am, living for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Good to see all of you here tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning in the 17th verse. I am more and more convinced in these last days that we are going to have to double our revelation and our knowledge and what we really understand and believe about the Lord Jesus Christ and all the tools and gifts that he's given us as saints of the living God. Ephesians 1 and 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is something that we can acquire from God. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. How many believers do we have here tonight? Wow. Hallelujah. This is exciting. There's tremendous privileges and responsibilities to believers to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. But ye shall, and then Acts 1 and 8, the Bible tells us that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Has anyone received this power?
Yes.
How many people here have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with his spirit? Praise God. So you have right now inside of you this apostolic power. But be honest with you, many times I have in the past found that you can know that you have something and really do not seem to have the ability to get it off the ground. It's like having somebody deliver a 747 to your front door and say, you just won this in a giant sweepstakes. You can fly any place in the world you'd like to. The problem, of course, is I don't know how to fly it. I have no earthly idea how to get that plane off the ground. So we know that we have been given the apostolic power that the apostles had in the book of Acts. And I would just like to encourage some of you tonight to tap into this apostolic power, including myself. I want more of God today than I've ever had before. I want to be more apostolic than I want to be a better believer. Hallelujah. The privileges of a believer, if you study it out, and you'll see that it's one of the most exciting principles in the scripture. The promises we have are endless, just literally endless. And if you believe God's word is true, we are living way below our privileges. But I believe that if you get this spark, and I know some of you already have been there and are doing it, I know I've talked to some of you, and you're starting to feel this, because in these last days, God is pouring out his spirit in an unprecedented manner as the devil begins to pour out his spirit and begins to come at the church like he never has before. You need to get all the tools out of the toolbox. You need to have them all sharpened and ready and allow yourself to be used of God like you never have before. I believe God's going to heal people tonight. It's in the book. I believe people are going to be delivered tonight because it's in the book. I believe it. And if you believe it, you need to speak it. I believe God's going to set some captives free tonight. I believe God's going to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor of ours here tonight, I want you to know that you may not understand what we're doing here, but there's only one thing you need to do. There's only one thing you have to know, and that's talked about in Hebrews 11 and 6. Praise God. The very first step to coming to God involves believing that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you understand the ramifications of that? God doesn't really care how much you come to church and how much you're paying tithe. You have got to manifest faith. You are going to have to believe God to meet all of your need according to His riches and glory. And you have to be consistently seeking God to obtain that faith. I don't know about you, but in the last 6 or 7 years, I'm encompassed. I have a passion to try to understand how faith works and how I can help people understand faith. I've made up list after list of scripture and various subjects, and I'm going over those every day because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you want more faith, you have to get more of the Word of God in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because you are a believer. Hallelujah. Mark 9 and 22. And these are the text scriptures for tonight. Mark 9 and 22. The man who had came to Jesus Christ, and he requested an audience with the Lord because his son was possessed with a demon. And the Bible says in 9:22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Everybody say that. All things are possible to him that believeth. Praise God. This, to me, is an amazing thought that everything, every promise in that book is available to a believer. Are you ready for, are you really a believer? Praise God. If you're really a believer, then you want to be hungry and thirsting after the promises of God. I want to just take a look at a couple of different expositions and explanations of these two scriptures, because after I began to study this out, it became apparent I had not really seen this before. In Gill's exposition of this verse, and he writes this, as the man put an if on the power of Christ, Christ puts a if on his faith. He turned it right around and made that man understand that if he had the faith, he could actually, the power that was not lacking in Jesus. What was lacking in this equation was the man's faith. He did not believe. Praise God. The Living Translation. What do you mean, if I can, Jesus said? Question mark. Anything is possible if a person believes. Does that excite you? I don't know. I just get excited when I realize that. I guess I've always been kind of a spiritual entrepreneur. I just see all these wonderful promises, and I want to get there. I want to be able to utilize. I want to be able to tap in, because there's so many people are hurting, so many of our own brothers and sisters who are living way below where God wants them to be, who are filled with fear and doubt and unbelief. Praise God. Just to think, all things are possible to those who believe. The Arabic version, which I had no idea they had a version, but there it was, is even more forceful, and it renders it this way. What is this saying? If thou can do anything, question mark. What do you mean by that? He got right in his, what do you mean by that? There's no reason to doubt my power after so many miracles, after all the things that I've done. Why are you questioning me? And this is something that we have a tendency to do sometimes when we don't get what we've asked for, and because we don't have the proper amount of faith and belief, we turn it back to God. I guess it's not God's will to heal me. But that's not correct. That is not correct. We need to believe God for every single verse in this scripture. Rightly dividing the word, praise God. The question here was not whether Jesus can, but whether the afflicted father has the faith to believe for his son's deliverance. And then let's go down to Mark 9:28. And this is the response that Jesus gave his disciples. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, I think we understand that Jesus had already given the disciples this authority to cast out devils. There was no problem in that dimension. What they were dealing was lack of faith, that there was not enough faith in the man to do what God had wanted to do for them. This forth cometh not forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. He'd already commissioned them. He'd already told them, go out two by two, casting out devils, healing sick in my name. Praise God. But Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. Everybody say that. All things are possible to those who believe. But see, what we have to deal with is if we were born into this world, and for the number of years that we're in the world has its own equations, their own solutions to our problems. So our mind gets filled with natural, fleshly type solutions. We have 250 different agencies in Dane County that minister to the needs of people from A to Z. And these are the very things that the Almighty God has already promised believers. Praise God. All things are possible to those who believe. So if we want to drive out unbelief, and we all have it, we become well-tuned in unbelief because we have so much information. Amen. We know way too much about our illness and our sicknesses and our problems in life and our economic situation. So we don't look at Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What we need to do is be looking into the Word of God. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and according to His glory. We need to eliminate fear and doubt because it is the devil's faith. This is what causes us to shrink up. This is what causes us to lose out on the promises of God. It's happened to every one of us, hasn't it? Anybody here have every one of their prayers answered? Anyone here ever struggled with something for a certain length of time and you knew that God wanted to give it to you, but you just couldn't muster up enough faith to receive it? And you knew it was God's will. And after a while, you begin to study the Word of God and apply the Word of God to your heart. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of the Lord. You begin to speak it. You begin to meditate on it. You begin to look it up. You begin to do lists. You know, you want to do this, by the way, before you come into the battlefield. Because the Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places, principality, rulers of darkness. So the problem sometimes we get is that we get into one of these situations and we're not necessarily prepared. We don't have on the whole armor of God because things were going so good for so long. And then you're sitting in the doctor's office and he's saying, I need to talk to you. I'm real concerned. Your x-ray is showing this or showing that, or one of your children have an issue, or something happens in your life that turns your little apple cart upside down. And you better have some answers before this happens. You better have begun to build your faith. You want to be a believer because all things are possible to those who believe. Praise God. I don't know about you, but this stuff turns me on. I say it turns me on. We hear things every day from people. I have a condition. There's no hope for this. There's no cure for that. I'm in an upside down situation financially. There's no way for me to get out of it. Yet they're hard-working, believing Christians. But what have they done? They've spoken things into their circumstances that will come to pass. They've said things with their lips that is not what they wanted. Praise God. I've heard people say, well, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Or you can never really truly be delivered from alcohol or drugs or all these things. That's not... How many people have been delivered from alcohol here? Yoo-hoo! Praise God. Lie number one. How about tobacco? I won't go down the list, but there's a lot of things. I've got 6 pages on my list, so... Praise God, praise God. But God can do anything. I said He can do anything if you'll believe Him. We're just one word away from receiving everything that God has in this book. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. I don't care what your circumstances, I don't care what you're doing. Listen to me. If you are obviously doing the will of the Lord, and you can look into the Word of God and understand that these things are available, you can receive this from God. You can receive your healing. You can receive your deliverance. You can receive anything that you have a need of according to His will. The Bible says if we pray according to His will, the Bible says we know that He hears us. And the Bible tells us if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask for. Praise God. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. We know we have the petitions. Why is that? Because we're praying according to His will. How do you know God's will? In His Word is His will. So when you put together His Word according to His will, it's so simple. We make it difficult. We talk to people that are basement people. We talk to people who are downers. We talk to folks that don't really believe. So you get a bunch of people that are believing unbelievers. I believe God, but I don't know if He can do it for me. He can heal your blind eyes, sister. He can open up doors for you that you would not believe. I say you would not believe. I know a guy once, he was a drywall hanger and finisher. And within, I don't know, 5, 6 years, 7 years, this man became a house builder. And not only a house, but he built over 50 or 60 houses. Now, who would ever thought that? I didn't know he knew how to cut a board. Tom Nelson. But God opened up this door. Jim Rivets came in here as a wild and crazy guy. And God has blessed him immensely, mainly because of Amy. Everybody knows that. And all the ladies said, amen, brother. Praise God, praise God. But we could go around this congregation, myself included. God did some things with me financially that I had no earthly idea. He took my wife and I on a beautiful journey that lasted, 15 years. And we went from stark poverty to working for one of the largest, actually owned 51% of one of the largest companies in Madison. And I couldn't believe it. I'm standing there like Rhoda at the door. And I'm in these board meetings and I'm talking to these people and I'm witnessing to some of the presidents of this company. And I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I just kept smiling and praying and smiling and praying, and I barely could read blueprints. And they kept calling me up and said, Rich, come on over to our office. We need your input on this. I said, yeah. What am I going to do? I said, Lord, now, You got to help me on this. So I get over there and I find out, this was on Monona Terrace, and this is crazy because here I am in the room with all these guys and all of them are multimillionaires and very intelligent guys and they're asking me questions. So I'd find out who the boss was in those meetings and I'd figure out who the authority was and I'd find out what he liked and I said, I like what Bill likes. They never picked up on it. You know, it's amazing what can happen to your life. If you understand, if you begin to anticipate, I didn't ask for any of these things that God gave me. I mean, I when the door opened, I ran through it. Some of the doors I knocked over, but nevertheless, God was in it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. You must be able to line your speech up with the Word of God. Now that's critical if you're going to be a believer. If I could convince you that there was a tornado coming and you somehow could get Doppler radar up here and you saw that you had 15 minutes to get out of the building, I could make believers out of some of you, but some of you probably wouldn't move. But you know, when things are spoken, it causes an action. There must be a reaction to faith. You cannot have faith if you're not reacting to your belief. If you believe something, you're going to speak something. And if you're going to speak something, speak in accordance with God's answer to your situation. And it's not that you're ignoring your problem. You're just basically speaking God's answer to your problem. And it works. It works. Don't agree with what's going on in your life. It's a temporary roadblock. God many times allows these things to come into our life. And when these things come in, He wants to look and to see how you're going to respond to them. It's a test. It's a trial. Some of them are fiery trials. Some are trials that you just wish you never would have got involved in. But you know what? As long as you're in them, you might as well just, this is a great time to turn it off. Just become a believer. Start speaking what God promised. He said He'd supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. All of my need, financial, physical, mental, I don't care what it is. Woo! You know, the Bible tells us that God is eager to fulfill His word. His word cannot come back to Him void. The Bible says He's watching over His word to perform it. He's looking for a heart that's perfect, that He can perform that which is in His word. He's looking for people just like you and just like me who are going to say, you know what? I believe God for my healing. I believe God for my child. I believe God for the things that I need in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing will kick fear and doubt out of your life faster than quoting the word of the Lord. God's solution to your problem. Praise God. And do not get around people that have the same problem, that have a negative attitude, because they will drag you down into the abyss. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:13 backs up this thought here. If we believe something, we should speak. We should speak our belief. This exercises our faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. So the connection here is if you believe something, speak something. If you can't believe God for your miracle or your situation, don't say anything. Don't confide with people, I've got cancer, I've got financial problems. Just don't say it. You just say, I've got a God who's able to do above and beyond that which I'm asking or thinking. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. My child might be lost, but he will be found. I believe God loves me more than you can possibly imagine. He promised, I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah! That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Oh, here comes the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pour out your spirit, my Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. As much as speaking faith will bring God's promises into your dimension, so when you speak on belief and doubt, it will also draw like a magnet into your life. Don't speak your circumstances. Speak what you're expecting from God according to His Word. Some of you are going through some difficult times physically, emotionally, and financially. Listen to me. There's a God who has promised to do things for you according to His Word. You don't have to look at the bottom line. All you got to look at is this book and find out what His promises are and stand on them. If you've done everything you know how to do, stand, praise God, and pray. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shield of faith. Oh, praise God. And the Word, the sword of the Spirit, your only offensive weapon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, my. I'm feeling so good. If I was a little younger, I might dance up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 11:23. Hallelujah. Look at this scripture here. This is so amazing. Mark 11:23. We're talking about being a believer. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. See, this believe, it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Do you believe it? Speak it. That those things which thou sayest shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. It works positive, it works negative. So why in the world would you want to speak poverty? Why would you want to speak sickness? Why would you want to speak unemployment? Why would you want to speak those things that will draw those very things to you? That doesn't make any sense. So Jesus was telling his disciples, he has given believers the same authority he had when he was on the face of this earth. This is where we become a little bit perplexed. We know that God can do all things, but when the tables are turned and all things are possible to those who believe, now the impetus is on us. We've been given the authority to speak it. We've been given the authority to live it out. We've been given all these promises. Praise God. And then he really challenges us in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. When's the last time you felt you were doing the works that Jesus did? And then he goes on to say, and greater works. Everybody say, greater works than these shall I do. Praise God. Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he just comes right back and hits us again. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. I mean, does it get any plainer than that? Now, if this was a business person or just someone on the street, this is the Almighty God that was robed in flesh. He has come to this earth to seek and to save that which is lost. He knew all of your weaknesses when he called you. You didn't call him, he called you. Unlike the church evangelical world who have this beliefism philosophy, and you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then someone shakes your hand and tells you you're saved. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's like God sitting there with his hat in his hand, waiting with a bated breath to see if Rich Thomas would accept his generous offer. You think that's the way it is? You know what it really is? If you come to God broken, if you understand that you are a sinner, if you understand that you are in desperate need of the grace of God, if you come to this altar tonight, if you have tears flowing down your face because of the circumstances and the situations that you're facing, God will honor your need. But if you come here with pride, if you come here as if you have something coming from God, if you have the spirit of entitlement, you get zip, zero. You don't get anything from God. But God will not resist a humble spirit. God is against the proud, but anyone who is willing to humble themselves in His sight, oh, the promises of God. Praise God, praise God. You need to understand this. Praise God, praise God. Belief is expressed by speaking, and it must precede our faith. We must be convinced in our heart God can perform every promise in this book. Everything that you need has already been appropriated. It's in God's giant warehouse in heaven. Everything is there. It's got your name on Jim Rivets. It's got every boat skag, everything he destroys as he goes to Canada. All these things, it's right there when you need it. God is a God who's just in time. Just in time. And that's where your faith is built the most. When you begin to not go in panic when things are not happening the way you'd like to see them. When you're feeling at your lowest, but you, in your heart of hearts, you're believing God. You're understanding it doesn't really, you know, if God's really in control, then why would I be feeling upset? Or why would I be uptight? If I really, really trusted God, why would I be so fearful? Why would I not be able to sleep at night? That's because your heart still has unbelief in it. God understands that. Don't hide these things from God. Just, God, help my unbelief. He'll say, get into my word and talk to me about your promises, the promises. Talk to me about those things that I have already promised to give to you. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. When he consumes your problems, it's such a cool thing, because yesterday you had no idea what was going to happen. You didn't have enough money. You didn't have enough there's just lack of everything. And the next day, everything's okay. How does that happen? I don't know, but I love it when it happens. I love it when it happens. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is eager to show himself strong on our behalf. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I've heard some people ignore their problems. They pretend like, I'm not sick, or I don't have this situation. And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about name it and claim it. We're talking about, here's my reality as far as where I'm at physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. This is the book that tells me the results that God has promised me. So I'm going to focus on the results, not on... I'm going to turn my eyes onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've talked to people who they don't believe in tithing. So it's not going to stop God. People that tithe are blessed. People that understand the principle of giving, sowing, and reaping, they're blessed. If you don't believe in tithing, you lose. Praise God. You know, there's right thinking and there's wrong thinking. When you have right thinking, it will line up with what the Word of God has promised. If you've got wrong thinking, then you are need to have a checkup from the neck up. Wrong thinking will eventually condemn us. A person who steals, they don't ever believe they're going to get caught, because they wouldn't spend 5 years in jail for a recorder. They just don't think they're going to get caught. That's wrong thinking. If you're a thief, unfortunately, you're going to be also have another big problem come judgment day if you haven't repented. If you don't believe me, just look at Judas. He was a thief. He was living with the master, but he just couldn't seem to get away from taking money out of the bag from the poor. You know, a person who lies and says, well, it's not a really big deal, it's just a little white lie. Listen, if you believe that, and if you end up in eternity, you're going to be on the wrong side of the equation. The Word of God can't change because you perceived it to be a little white lie. Hey, a lie is a lie. Little big, it doesn't really make any difference. So we need to make sure that we believe the Word of God. The Bible tells us that all liars have their place in the lake of fire. Woo! Isn't that something? Oh, hallelujah. The person who is involved in adultery or fornication, he believes, I'm never going to get caught. God has recorded everything you've ever done in secret. And let's face it, now God knows the beginning from the end. How easy it is to just ask God to forgive you. Go on with your life and become a believer. Let the blood of Jesus Christ flow over your sin, over your circumstance. There's so many things here. But what about right believing? What happens if you start believing right? If you believe God can heal your body, He will. He has to, because His Word declares it. If you believe the Word of God, you're going to put these scriptures together, and faith come by hearing. Eventually, you're going to get to the spot where your spirit begins to feed on the Word of God, and it stops feeding on the negative things that are in your heart with what the doctors may have said or the surgeon may have said. Let God's Word be true and every man a liar. We're not talking about saying you don't have it. We're just saying it can't stay. Because it's not your body, it's God's body. You are the temple of the Most High God. He has given you that body to glorify Him. And I do not believe that God gets any glory from a body that's not working well. If you believe God can restore your marriage, He will restore your marriage, because all things are possible to those who believe. If you believe God will deliver you from your addictions tonight, He will. He will deliver you tonight. Not tomorrow. No 12-step program. He'll do it tonight. Tonight could be the first day of the rest of your life. You don't have to go through the rest of your life in bondage. You don't have to go through the rest of your life depressed. You don't have to go through the rest of your life thinking that nothing is ever going to change for me. My circumstances are so bad. They are so confusing to me. Listen, the Bible says that God will take the spirit of heaviness from you and give you the garment of praise. That means when you couldn't praise, you couldn't even get your hands up because you felt the depression. You felt the pressure of your weights. Suddenly, there's a lifting of that because the belief takes over, and all things are possible to those who believe. Is it too much of a price to pay to get into the Word of God and become a true apostolic believer? Because we're going to need it in these last days, and we all know that these are strange and perilous times. We're seeing things on an economic scale. Our whole economy is so fragile and so thin. It would just take one thing and the whole thing's going to go dumped. And if the United States goes, so is everything else. Listen, you better have enough faith to believe God for manna. You better have a rock in your backyard that you can speak to. Because if He did it for the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, He'll do it for Rich Thomas. He'll do it for Danny Capaccio. Things aren't going to get better. Don't be looking for things to get better, because it's just not in the Bible. Everything that you see coming to pass now points to this. There might be a spurt of recovery, but things are going in the opposite direction. We see things now that I can't even hardly fathom. And I'm not against, yes, I am. I just recently read an article about a clergy person who decided to start marrying same-sex couples and defied the denomination. And this, come on. And half of the denomination began to support this person and began to write her letter, him, her. Crap, I better stop. But I don't like it. People are being deceived if they think by the stretch of any biblical imagination that you could possibly fit that into the book. It does not fit. It does not fit. It is an abomination to God. And this is being recorded, and the Gestapo may come in here next week, but so be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you believe in water baptism by immersion, and if you believe it will take away every sin that you've ever committed, I've got really good news for you. It will. Every sin, everything you've ever committed from the day you're old enough to be accountable, it will be washed away as far as the east is from the west. It doesn't get any better than that. If you had a rap sheet like I had, you thought, this is the best deal I've ever heard of. Guaranteed renewable by the blood. You can come back to the altar again and again and again. I don't care. If you mess up, don't throw in the towel. Stand back your ears, pretend like you're in your right mind, and begin to worship the Lord. Ask forgiveness, and you're right back in the ball game. I don't care how many times you've let God down. Don't worry about that. The devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And if you feel so depressed, you don't want to continue in this race, let me tell you something. You are listening to the wrong channel. You've got to get your channel on Jesus' channel. Get it off of CBN and TBN and all that junk. Get it on the channel that talks the Bible. Get it on that channel that talks redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. If God's commanded me to forgive you, if you trespassed me 49 times for every trespass, how much more, 70 times 7, 490, how much more would he expect? Would I expect God to forgive me? How many times have you messed up? 5, 6, 10, 15. Why don't we just accept the promises of a believer? Why don't we just say, hey, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but I'm taking it. I don't deserve it, but I'm taking it. You know how many people are sitting out of this church today because they feel condemned? You know how many people are backslidden, sitting at home, and feeling that nobody loves them or everybody here is a hypocrite? They bought into the lies of the devil, and somehow they don't understand that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive you of all of your sin and all of your iniquity. And that was written to an established church, to established saints. If we say we have no sin, the Bible says we are liars. Oh my. Praise God, praise God, praise God. If you believe that God tonight will fill you with his Holy Spirit, if you believe that the evidence of being filled with God's Spirit is speaking in another language as the Spirit of God gives you the ability, that's the earnest of our inheritance. That's what we need to take home with us tonight. Not just another, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's not the Bible, man. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission, the removal of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you feel you can't live another day in the bondage and the pain is in your heart, did you know that God heals the brokenhearted? Do you know that God can take all of that pain out of there, and it can happen at this altar tonight? What a fantastic offer to those who want to believe God for the promises of God. You know, why would you want to suffer another day in the bondage of your problem? And that's what it is. It's bondage. You buy into a lie of the devil. He's told you that this is the way you are. You're weak and you cannot ever become different. And you've believed it, but you know what? That's not true. God forgives the prodigal. God loves it when people come back to him. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows where you've been and what you've been doing. He loves you anyhow. He knew that when he took you into this kingdom. But you know, the thing that I think is lacking in our society today, and that's the fear of the Lord. But if you have the fear of the Lord in your heart, if you believe that there's going to be a judgment day, if you believe that you're going to be held accountable for the things that you've done, if you believe that it's only the blood that's going to take you from this world to the next, you've got to come here tonight and get your... If you believe that you are a... And this is how I felt like I was a wretched sinner. When I came into this place, there was something inside of me that began to cry out. 31 years ago, I felt this pressure. I felt these tears welling up. And I fought them because I'm a macho guy. I don't need, nobody's going to make me cry. I make people cry. Oh, no. God pushed me down and He pushed me down and He pushed me down. I thank God for the things that He brought my way. I thank God for the trials. I thank God for the sickness. I thank God for the losing everything I had and I gained the, I lost the world and I gained Jesus. Such a deal. Such a deal. Some of you, no doubt, are sitting here tonight with broken lives and circumstances that, if you'd be real honest, most of them have been created by you. It's true. When you make bad decisions, you're going to pay for it. As a man sows, so shall he reap. But the game's not over yet unless you drop the bat and say, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm just going to stay in my sin and just stay just like I am. How silly. Why don't you become a believer? Why don't you believe God for the promises? Why don't you get right with God and stay right with God? Some people say, I don't believe in holiness. You think God cares if you believe in holiness? You think He's going to lose any sleep tonight because you don't believe in holiness or separation? And let me explain something to you. The things that we profess to believe, if they're not coming from your heart, eventually God's going to force you to address these things. Holiness, separation, these are things that are in the Bible. You say, I don't believe in that. So what? You think it's going to change the word of the Lord? Without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. So it's not as if God's going to change it because you don't believe in it. Why don't you get into the Word and find out, maybe you turn to love holiness. Because we serve a holy God, we're going into a holy city, we receive a Holy Ghost. And I've talked to people that says, you know, I just don't feel like I can measure up to the standards here. I don't think I can measure up to the things that you people do. I feel so unworthy. I don't know. I just don't think I could live this way. You're listening to the wrong voice. If you listen to the voice of the Almighty God. But I will say this to you tonight. Don't worry about those things right now. Just keep coming to church. Because one of these days, if you give your heart to God in Ezekiel 36, 26, this is what He's going to give you. Every person who's born again, they get a transplant. God was doing transplants long before the University Hospital even knew about them. A new heart also will I give you and a new spirit. See, the spirit that's in you, the heart that's in you is tainted with sin. It's burdened down with bad thoughts and bad ideas and bad experiences. God understands that. He's not going to leave you with that old decrepit heart. He's going to take that heart out. He's going to put a brand new heart and a brand new spirit in you. And guess what? This brand new spirit and heart do not crave the alcohol. It does not crave the drugs. It does not crave those things that had you in bondage. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise God. And then, He says in 27, and I will put My spirit within you. You know, we take this kind of lightly sometimes, but the God who said, let there be light, and spoke everything into existence, wants to be inside of me. He sought after me. I became a prized possession to Him. Did He want to hurt me? Did He want to harm me? All He wanted to do is give me love, give me peace, give me joy, give me long-suffering. Meekness, temperance. He wanted to take me out of a world that's corrupt and sinful and hateful. And what did he want to do that for? Simply because he loves me. The Bible tells us that he knew us before the foundation of the world. He knew your name. While you were in your mother's womb, the Bible says he knew all your parts. He knew exactly everything about you. He knew what you're going to do and why you're going to do it. And yet he said, oh, I love him. I can't wait till he turns 38 so I can crush him like a bug and cause him to get rid of this stinking pride of his and bring me to a place where he'll actually seek me. Repentance is such a beautiful thing. It's really just acknowledging the direction that you're going is going to bring you more pain, more of the very same things that you have got you bound. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your hands, would you? Praise God. I love you, Lord. I love you, God. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you become a believer, the Bible says if you abide in Jesus Christ and his words abide in you, you can ask what you will and he'll give it to you. What a promise. If you're abiding in Jesus Christ and his words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and you're going to receive it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh, I'm overwhelmed by these promises. I am stunned to think how some days I live so below my privileges. I get caught up thinking things that are negative and feeling things that I shouldn't be feeling. And listen, let's be true believers. Let's love one another. With a passion, let's love Jesus Christ like we never have before. Let's make this so exciting that people will want to come just to see what's going on here. When you tell them about the miracles that you've witnessed, when you tell them about the two people that were raised from the dead and the several that were delivered from heroin addiction and the many, many alcoholics that have been delivered on the spot and the people who have been blessed financially, physically, and mentally. This is works in the inside out. It is so exciting to be, and I'm 69 years old. I have no idea how many years I have left. I am having the time of my life because I am hungry for more of God. I want more of Jesus. I want to be more of a believer than I've ever believed before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 16:16, more wonderful promises to those who believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Let me just put a little addendum here. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please consider tonight. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. If you'll just repent of your sin, every sin that you've ever committed from the day you're old enough to be accountable will be washed away. You will not have to stand before God. The Bible talks in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, and the books were open. And, which are the 66 books of the Bible, and the book of life. And if your name is not written in the book of life, you are bound and cast into the lake of fire. Now, how silly. I've talked to people, and I want to belittle this, but I've talked to people who says, you cannot convince me that I need to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. I've been baptized when I was 11 years old. I said, well, how are you baptized? Well, I was sprinkled. I'm sorry, ma'am, you just got wet. Well, I've lived for God for 20 years, 30 years, and I know I'm a Christian. Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Oh. These are just average believer signs here. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. If you're a believer, you can cast out devils. Cast any out recently? Waiting on that one. Okay. They shall speak with new tongues. How many have spoken with new tongues? Now, wasn't that one of the most pleasant, enjoyable, exciting experiences that you've ever had? All my life I wanted to know if there was any proof that there's a God. When I was in seventh grade, I wrote an essay. They said, if you could have anything you wanted in the world, what would it be? And I thought about that. And I said, well, if someone could prove to me there was a God, then I'd know how to live the rest of my life. I got an A on it, but the rest of my life turned into be a nightmare because I didn't really believe there was a God until the God of creation came inside of me, delivered me, and I began to speak in a language. And with Brother O'Neill praying with you, you're going to speak in tongues or he'll drown you. Not really. He was with me the day that he preached the message. I don't remember the message, but I remember the experience as if it was yesterday. I could take you to the spot at the pew where I had knelt down, and I'd been there for an hour, hour and a half. I just couldn't stop repenting. I had so many things that I knew God was going to hold me accountable. And I don't know how I knew all that because I didn't really know anything about God. All I knew is that I was desperate. Do we have any desperate people here tonight? Do you have anybody that feels like, you know, I got to get this done tonight. I've got to get my heart right tonight. You know, you keep procrastinating, and when you're really going to commit yourself to God, you are losing one opportunity every day to spend eternity. You're losing one day where God could have delivered you. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. Confess it, forsake it, and believe that He can take away whatever it is that's holding you from giving yourself totally to God. Salvation is a progressive thing. The more you live for God, the more things that God lets you know that you have got to take care of. If He told me everything that I was going to have to give up at the time I was down at that altar, Brother Neil, I would have bolted out of that church like a rabbit. There's no way, you know, there's no way I would have at this point in time of my spiritual development. I was still in the egg thing. I hadn't hatched yet. So I was just like the protoplasm around there. And suddenly, after I had been born again, I couldn't get away from the Word of God. I couldn't get away from the presence of the Lord. I wanted to be in the church building every single time it was open. I wanted to read. I wanted to fast. I wanted to pray and pray and pray. I wanted to do whatever I could do for the kingdom of God. I didn't have any aspirations to do anything. I just wanted to do whatever needed to be done. Hallelujah. Remember those days? I want to be a believer today, yesterday, and tomorrow. I don't want to give up on what I used to be. I don't want to think about the good times I used to have in the Lord. I want to create new experiences. I want to see new things. I want these hands to be laid on the sick and watch them recover before my very own eyes. I want to cast out more devils than I want all these experiences because Jesus Christ has given this to us. Praise God. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands, except for Pepsi. Amen. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is believers. This is the average saint in an apostolic church. Should be totally delivered. Now, here's what happens. We get partially delivered, and God receives us because we gave all of our heart that we knew about at the time. But guess what? As you begin to go further into your walk with God, more things become apparent that they do not line up with the Word of God. So repentance starts at the new birth experience. And it goes on every single day of your life until the day that Jesus Christ calls you back home. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Praise God. It's so easy to live for God daily. It's so easy to pray if you've made up your mind. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to come today before God, because the Bible says daily He wants to load us with our benefits. If you don't show up for a couple, three, 4 days, you then have to pray back to the point where you were at the time you stopped praying. It's just the way it is. You go backwards and you don't even know you're going backwards. Praise God. Praise God. So the bottom line, when I was in the construction business, every year we had these auditors come. And they spent 3 or 4 days or a week sometimes auditing our books. And the crazy thing about it, when you get big enough, you don't have no idea if you made any money or not. And I'm thinking, I had to make money. We took in $2.5 million, you know. Come on. And these guys sit down and say, Mr. Thomas, sounds like you made about $56 this year. I couldn't believe it. See, the bottom line in our walk with God is not how many times you come to church, how much money that you give. Are you a believer? Because these signs will follow you. And these reactions to the world will be put in subjection to God's word. Revelations 21 and 8 as we close. Where are you going to spend eternity? You know, if you take a close look at the Gospels, you'll see that, at least my estimation is that 50% of the people who come into this don't make it. Two are in the mill, one was taken, one was not. This is just my, the ten virgins, five foolish, five wise. And there's several other parables that lead me to believe that. You know, you could sit here and play church. Nobody would know it. Nobody would know it. And it's easy to do because you know enough to keep you here, but not enough to be a real believer. You're not getting the joy or the peace that you need to have. Oh, why don't you just jump in? Why don't you just say, you know what, I'm going to be a believer. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I have to give up. I don't care what sacrifice I have to make. Because I do not want to be lost. Revelations 21 and 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving. You mean you could be cast into hell for being afraid? Fearful? And unbelieving. And the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's absolutely no reason. The Bible says that God is not willing that any one soul, not one soul should perish. His only prerequisite is that you come to repentance. That you acknowledge where you're at and let God fix it. Let His blood cover you once again. Allow yourself to be renewed like you were in the beginning. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. If you'd stand with me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Choose life. You know, if the lifestyle that you're living, if you like it, if you like the lifestyle, if you decide you want to stay in that lifestyle, if you love the world more than you would love God, we can't help you tonight. But if in your heart of hearts, if you want a change, you came to the right place. And if you do come tonight, I want you to know this. We'll help you keep the change. We'll assist you. We will pray with you. We will counsel you. We will show you in the Word of God what you have to do. Not only to be saved, but to stay saved. I don't know if there's anyone here tonight, but I believe there's people in this house tonight that need to get right with God. You know, my good friend Steve Gifford just passed. His family's here tonight. Nobody ever knew that was the last service he was in. Talked to him, we joked around a little bit, and suddenly he was gone. But you know what? He decided to, over a year ago, to come back. God's grace grabbed him. God's love pulled him back into the house of the Lord. You see, there's a day of reckoning. We don't know when our day is coming. We know that every man has an appointment with destiny. There's a beginning of your life and there's an end of your life. And if you have an opportunity like you're getting tonight, I would ask that you choose life. I would ask that you take this offer that Jesus Christ has given you and come forth. Who'd like to be the first? Lay aside all pride, everything that's holding you back. Who'd like to be the first? If you're suffering from some affliction in your body, if you'd come right over here. We have men and women that will pray for you, and I believe God will heal your body. If you have addictions in your life and you need to be delivered, you come stand right here in the beginning. And if you've never been born again of the water and of the Spirit, I want you to know, you come right over here. God will fill you with His Spirit. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. You don't know if you have another day. I cling to you.